Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Have you ever had to move house from one place to another? The planning and preparation for a house move can go on for months if a deadline isn't set to do so. What to take and what to throw out or give away are decisions needing to be made about many things. It can be an exhausting and confusing exercise for some to decide what's important enough to the family to be kept and what's unnecessary and no longer wanted, even if it holds some type of sentimental value. Try to imagine how it was for the Israelite people packing up their houses in a few hours after the plague of the firstborn had struck the Egyptians. The former slaves were hastily packing what they thought they would be able to carry with them and need in their new life in God's promised land. An international Christian speaker once said that when he was a single man, he could pack everything he owned into the back of his small car and go anywhere. But then, when he had a wife and four children, it would take 2 10-ton trucks to move them out of their house. Needless to say, they never moved house, as it all seemed too hard to do. But with the Israelites leaving Egypt for good, and at whatever age and stage of life they were at, they were excited to be free and going to a new way of life.
At last, all was ready, and the Israelites began to leave their homes and go to the appointed meeting place in the first light of day.
Well, Moses, God kept his promise as we knew he would. It feels good to be marching like this in the early morning towards the promised land.
Father, Mother, look! Why are we turning south here? I'm sure that is not the way to Canaan.
Well, you stay here with Mother. I'll try and find out.
The explanation is quite simple. The direct way leads through the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines are a very warlike people. They would never willingly let us go through without a fight. So our Lord commanded me to lead our people around this land, lest going through the country of the Philistines, we get into a war for which we are not prepared. Our men lack arms and military training.
Headed south. You see, Sarah, how wise the Lord is.
It is a pillar of cloud. I see it plainly now. And it seems to be leading us. There's our sign. That's the Lord himself to show us the way.
The Lord himself.
And so it proved to be. The pillar of cloud moved ahead of the long column the rest of that day. And as the dusk fell, it slowly began to gleam and shimmer and became a pillar of fire. And so the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light.
We have to ask ourselves, did Pharaoh finally come to the point in the middle of the night when he saw all the dead firstborn to respect Moses and Aaron and honor their God? He had said that he never wanted to see Moses and Aaron again, yet he called for them and told them to leave Egypt. He meant it this time, as he'd come to fear the power of God and asked Moses to bless them. Pharaoh could no longer trust in the gods of Egypt or rely on them to help save him from God Almighty. Pharaoh then agreed to everything Moses asked for, and the Israelites hurried to get ready to leave Egypt before the night was over. There wasn't time for them to allow the bread dough in their kitchen bowls to rise before it had to be cooked, so it was made on that very first Passover without leaven or yeast in it. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, the Lord God gave instructions to the Israelites about keeping the Passover meal each year. They weren't to eat roasted lamb with bread made with yeast, but for 7 days they were to eat unleavened bread symbolically, so they'd remember for the rest of their lives their affliction in Egypt and their hasty departure. The Israelites asked their Egyptian neighbors for articles of value, and they were willingly given whatever they wanted by way of compensation for all the hard building work the Israelite slaves had done. In Exodus chapter 12, it tells us that 430 years to the day, all the Israelites went out of Egypt on their journey to the promised land. This Exodus is the story of the Lord saving his people from slavery under Pharaoh and guiding them to a land of freedom and prosperity under God's rulership. In the Old Testament, forgiveness of sin came through the blood of animals, but this was limited to the Israelites and those who joined them. Its purpose was to temporarily overcome physical bondage and open the way to an earthly Canaan, a land flowing in milk and honey. But in the New Testament, deliverance from sin comes by the blood of Christ and is available equally to all people everywhere and in every generation. This deliverance is from spiritual bondage and our soul's sinful nature, and with God's abundant provisions opens the way to an eternal heavenly home with God in the next life. About 600,000 men left Egypt under Moses' direction. This number didn't include the women and children, but it's been estimated that nearly 2 million people left that night. Some who went were Egyptian God-fearing people as well. Can you imagine the noise of so many people and their animals walking along following Moses and Aaron? The dust raised by so many tramping feet must have made it tiring for the people. But for the moment, these people were so thankful to be on a journey to a new life of freedom. They rejoiced at their new prospects in the beginning, but as the day grew hotter, a settling down occurred and they realized that they were now on a journey. Every person who survives childhood is on a journey through life. Our life goal and what we strive for as a measure of meaningfulness and success may be determined by others from our family, friends, or culture. At birth, our circumstances and place in time are fixed, and we may find it hard to break away from them as we grow older. But in itself, this may not always be a bad thing. An American preacher named Jonathan Edwards lived in the 1700s. He and his wife left a godly legacy of Bible teaching and training for their 11 children. Leaving a godly legacy for your children should be the goal of all Christian parenting. Although the faith and godliness of our children is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit, God often uses the influence and example of parents to make a great impact on their children. At the turn of the 20th century, a pastor decided to trace the descendants of Jonathan Edwards almost 150 years after his death. Including those who married into his family, there were more than 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 13 college presidents, over 100 professors, 62 doctors, 100 clergymen or missionaries, 80 elected to public office, and 60 writers who produced 135 books of merit. Credit for much of this was given to the work of Jonathan Edwards' wife, Sarah. The opposite of a godly heritage like that was compared to a man named Max Luke living at the same time as the Edwards family. Now, many details of his descendants have been disputed as being exaggerated in recent years, but the figure of 60 convicted thieves has been verified as correct. This is a powerful example of how a parent's leadership can have a profound effect on their children's children for generations to come. We must be willing to forsake the life we've planned or that others have planned for us so that we'll have the life that is waiting for us in Christ. This was true of a young nobleman born in 1700. His name was the Imperial Zindorf Nicholas Ludwig, and his family came from Austria, but they lived in East Germany. His father died when he was only 6 weeks old, and his mother married again when he was 4. He was sent to live with his godly grandmother. From her, he learnt much about the scriptures, and he was quite upset when he had to leave her to attend elite boarding schools where genuine Christian faith was ridiculed. Zinzendorf was trained by a number of mentors to ensure that he knew all the proper court manners and traditions, but his serious Christianity clashed with their plans. Zinzendorf kept longing for freedom to follow God and serve him with his life, and that opportunity soon came knocking. When two refugees, fleeing from intense persecution in Morava in the east of the Czech Republic, arrived at his estate, he gladly welcomed them and offered them refuge in a small village on his property. They sent the good news back to their friends, and soon the village became a refuge and a town for many different people who all believed that salvation is by faith alone. When there was trouble in the town, Zinzendorf left his job in Germany, and with his family he moved from their mansion to live in the town and teach the people how to get along with each other. using the Bible as his only instruction book, Zinzendorf began to establish a community devoted to prayer, praise, Bible study, and mutual spiritual growth. Continual prayer would rise to God as the people took turns praying each hour, day and night, a discipline that would continue without a break for over 100 years. The fruit of the new obedience to God's word were hearts that were filled with praise and a readiness to serve God and share the gospel wherever God might send them. A year later, after much prayer and preparation, two Moravians were chosen and sent as the first missionaries to the West Indies. In 1732, Zinzendorf took them 15 miles in his horse carriage, but from there on they had to trust in God for daily provision. God proved his faithfulness, and they soon found a ship headed for the West Indies. The next set of Moravian missionaries was called to Greenland. They learned the language of the Eskimos there, and they lived among them. Later, other Moravian missionaries were sent to South America, Africa, and Asia. God's love spread wherever these missionaries went. When a message came back that some of the missionaries had died, the same number of people at home would volunteer to replace those selfless martyrs in their field of service. All those Moravian missionaries kept up their hour a day of prayer wherever the Lord sent them to tell the gospel. This work was all accomplished 60 years before William Carey left for India in 1793. Zinzendorf brought many creative innovations into the church during his time, which have endured to the present, including his focus on Christian unity, the emphasis on community singing, the family approach to spirituality and community as opposed to the monastery's tradition, his understanding of Christianity to cover all aspects of life, and the idea of having a prayer chain of day and night prayer. Zinzendorf's efforts within the church eventually led to world missions and change in many lives. For each person travelling their journey of life, there are only two ways to live, for self or for God. And sadly, no amount of travel on the wrong road will bring us to the right destination in the end. Just as the Israelites followed behind God as a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, so all people today have to decide whether they'll follow him or not. We can choose where we want to end up in the next life by the decisions we make in this one. If we put off making such a decision, we may run out of time to decide, or do so only when near death. Isn't it far better to offer the Lord Jesus a young, healthy body ready to serve him wherever he desires? There are rewards to be given in heaven for those faithful to their God-given tasks, just like those Moravian missionaries did. But the rewards are secondary to knowing God intimately with spiritual peace and contentment, and spiritual gifts that extend the kingdom of our God, whom we love because he first loved us. How does anyone get to heaven? There's only one way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of living for yourself, surrender your life to Jesus. Ask him to forgive your sins and become your Savior. Thank him for such a privilege and ask for his guidance as you journey through life. Read about Jesus in the Bible because he said to learn of him because he is gentle and humble in heart. And in doing so, people will find rest for their souls.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.